I've got the answer. Well, hi there. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Don't hold that against me. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. Fancy meeting you here. This is a daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Our reading today is Luke 21 and 22. Afterwards, I'll have some thoughts to share with you. I'm calling today's episode Soon. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com, and if you'd like to leave a comment on today's episode, you can do that at lifespringmedia.com/S12E199. Let's get started. Luke chapter 21. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." Now, while some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you're gazing at, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another. All will be torn down." So they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that these things are about to take place?" He said, "Watch out that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. And when you hear of wars and rebellions, do not be afraid, for these things must happen first, but the end will not come at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise up in arms against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places. And there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you, handing you over to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will be a time for you to serve as witnesses. Therefore, be resolved not to rehearse ahead of time how to make your defense. For I will give you the words, along with the wisdom, that none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will have some of you put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who are inside the city must depart. Those who are out in the country must not enter it, because these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing their babies in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away as captives among all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth nations will be in distress, anxious over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. People will be fainting from fear and from the expectation of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man arriving in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the other trees. When they sprout leaves, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. So also you, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day close down upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will overtake all who live on the face of the whole earth. But stay alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that must happen and to stand before the Son of Man." So every day Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, but at night he went and stayed on the Mount of Olives. And all the people came to him early in the morning to listen to him in the temple courts. Luke 22. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was drawing near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put him to death because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. He went away and discussed with the chief priests and temple police how he could hand him over to them. They were glad and agreed to give him silver. So he accepted the offer and started looking for a good opportunity to betray him when the crowd was not present. Then the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us so we can eat it." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen," he said to them, "when you've entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it, just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be who was going to do this thing. Then a dispute also arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles dominate them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and whoever leads like the one serving. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You were the ones who stood by me in my trials. I bestow on you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." "Lord," he told him, "I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." "I tell you, Peter," he said, "the rooster will not crow today until you deny 3 times that you know me." He also said to them, "When I sent you out without money bag, traveling bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Not a thing," they said. Then he said to them, "But now, whoever has a money bag should take it, and also a traveling bag. And whoever doesn't have a sword should sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you, what is written must be fulfilled in me." And he was counted among the outlaws. "Yes, what is written about me is coming to its fulfillment." "Lord," they said, "look, here are 2 swords. "Enough of that," he told them. He went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you won't enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, suddenly a mob was there, and one of the 12 named Judas was leading them. He came near Jesus to kiss him, But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, "No more of this." And touching his ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Every day while I was with you in the temple complex, you never laid a hand on me. But this is your hour and the dominion of darkness." They seized him, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus started mocking and beating him. After blindfolding him, they kept asking, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they were saying many other blasphemous things against him. When daylight came, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, convened and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." But he said to them, "If I do tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." "Why do we need any more testimony," they said, "since we've heard it ourselves from his mouth?" In Luke 21, Jesus made a statement concerning the temple that not one stone will be left on another. In doing that, he prophesied the destruction that would take place 40 years later. And in Matthew's account of this same conversation, he was a bit more complete in what Jesus said, because it's more apparent there that Jesus was also talking of his ultimate return at the end of the age. So the disciples naturally asked Jesus when these things would take place, and he gave them signs to look for. And since I was a teenager, I've heard this question: "Are we in the end times?" And that same question has undoubtedly been asked countless times since Jesus was resurrected. Well, I've got the answer. Are you ready? Well, let me answer it this way. Pastor Chuck Smith, the man who founded Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, fervently believed that Jesus would return before the end of his life. He wrote a book on the subject explaining his reasons for that belief. And I remember going to an event, I believe it was at the Anaheim Convention Center, where Pastor Chuck spoke about it. He made a great argument, and many people agreed with Chuck and believed that Jesus would be coming before 1980. Well, here we are on March 19th, 2022. We're still here. Jesus didn't return in 1980, and Pastor Chuck went to be with the Lord on October 3rd, 2013. By the way, Chuck was always very careful to say that no man knows the hour. He wasn't putting a date on Jesus' return. He was just stating that he believed that Jesus was coming very soon. I believed it then, and I believe it now. Jesus is not late in returning. He'll be on time. But I believe it can be at any moment.
I usually play music I have for you at the end of the show, but today I wanted to play this for you now. That was the great Andre Crouch with Soon and Very Soon. I'll have a video of Andre and Jesse Dixon doing a live version of that song on the show notes page. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet Andre, but when he was still alive, I was only one degree of separation from him. He and my buddy Brian Duncan were friends. And speaking of Brian, there will be some pictures of Brian and me in an issue of the newsletter soon. If you want to see them, you'll have to be subscribed. Go to news.lifespringmedia.com and sign up. I mean, why would you not? Anyway, back to my comments. So my answer to the question of are we in the end times is, I believe we are. I believe that many things that must happen before Jesus' return have already happened. But I've learned not to be dogmatic about prophetic events. God is sovereign, and Jesus said, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Well, if Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back, how can I? I will add this, though. I can imagine Jesus sitting on the edge of his throne right now next to the Father saying, "Now, Father, now? Surely the time has come." What do you think? Let me know on the comments page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E199. Tomorrow we're going to complete the book of Colossians with the reading of chapters 3 and 4.
It is time for Le Boost.
Hey, how about being a part of LifeSpring history? This coming Tuesday will be episode 202 of this season's LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And to have some fun and help support the show, you can donate just $2 and I'll thank you on show 202. Donate $22 and I'll thank you on the show, plus I'll send you a PDF copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Donate $202 and I'll thank you on the show. I'll send you a PDF of the book. I'll send you a signed copy of the paperback version of the book, and you'll get an executive producership on show 202. I will be recording episode 202 on Monday the 21st, so you'll need to get your donation in by 4 p.m. Pacific time on Monday, March 21st, 2022. That's the cutoff time. Show number 202 of the 12th season, March 22, 2022. That's never going to happen again. Join the fun. If you've been putting off donating to the show, why wait any longer? On this date in church history, March 19th, 1944. German Lutheran theologian and Nazi martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in a letter from prison, "We can have abundant life even though many wishes remain unfulfilled." Wise words. Prayer requests. Well, guess what? I have a personal prayer request today. My AFib is back, atrial fibrillation, and the lovely Lady Leanne insisted that I call my cardiologist. I didn't argue. It normally goes away after no more than about 8 hours, but I'm on my third day now. It's been coming and going. Yesterday I told you that it had resolved. Well, not so much. Last night when we were watching TV together, it came back with a vengeance. So, last night I sat down and wrote him an email, and this morning, actually just a little while ago, I got a call from my cardiologist, and he told me that there were three choices. There are two different medications that can be prescribed and one surgical option. The first medication can cause some bad side effects like liver or eye problems and other things. If I do that one, I have to be tested every 6 months to see if damage is occurring for the rest of my life. The second medication requires a 3-day stay in the hospital while they begin to give me the medicine so that they can watch to see if problems develop. And with both of those meds, the longer you're on them, the more likely it is that problems are going to happen. I joke about being an old guy, but at 67, I'm not really that old, and I don't really relish the idea of being on these drugs for the rest of my life. The surgical option requires a 4 to 6 hour operation where they put a catheter up into the heart and zap the part that is causing the electrical misfires that make the heart to not beat with the correct rhythm. So that is what I've decided to do. I recently had some conversations with some friends and acquaintances that have had this done, and they've had no further problems. So now I'm waiting for my cardiologist to refer my case over to the facility in Los Angeles that will be doing the procedure. They'll determine if I'm a good candidate, and then we'll schedule it. So please pray that, number one, God heals me so that I don't need the procedure, or two, that they'll get it scheduled quickly, or number three, or I should say and number three, that it's successful. For some reason, Leanne wants to keep me around a while longer. I don't know, go figure. Now, just as I was about to hit the record button for today's show, I got a call from my cardiologist's office to tell me that I'm to have a follow-up with him on May 18th. That's 2 months from now. I hope that's not an indication that the procedure is for some time after that. That would be terrible. I'll keep you updated if there is any more word on that, and I did send him an email to ask for clarification on why we're having this follow-up on May 18th. So, let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus will be returning, and I think it'll be soon, but you're sovereign, and your timetable is known only to you. Our job is no different whether His return is today or in 1,000 years. You want us to be sharing the good news. Lord, give us opportunities to do that, and give us the words to say and the boldness to say them. Use us, Lord, as messengers for you so that no one has the excuse, "I didn't know." Bless the LifeSpring family today, Lord, each one. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. You'll find a form there. You can put all the information in you want me to know. Let me know your name. Let me know your blood type. Let me know your name. And if you'd rather remain anonymous, you can let me know that there. Prayer.lifespringmedia.com. We'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together on the show. I would love it if you'd share the show with your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your frenemies, whoever. Share the show. You can comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E199. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And please, support the show if you receive any value from it. Be a part of episode 202 with a special donation. Is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible important to you? You know what to do. LifeSpringMedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb. I appreciate your prayers. Bye.